This WBEZ podcast is supported by Wise, the app for international people using money around the globe. With the Wise account, you can send, spend, and receive in up to 40 currencies with only a few simple taps. Download the Wise app today or visit wise.com. Terms and conditions apply. Be smart. Get Wise.
What's up, Chicago? I'm Erin Allen, and this is The Rundown. So we got a few changes coming up to our show. Starting next week, these longer conversations that I host, we're going to put those out on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And starting today and every Friday, I'll be talking to Nudia Hernandez from WBEZ's sister station, Vocalo. Now, if you listen to Vocalo, you probably already know Nudia. She hosts Nudia in the Afternoon, which airs Monday through Friday on the station. And she plays music, she talks to artists and musicians, and all the cool kids making culture in Chicago. So it's only natural that we have her on The Rundown as well. Today, I'm excited to introduce Nudia to you if you don't already know her, and officially welcome her to the show. After our chat, we're going to hear one of her recent interviews about a very unique dance show in Garfield Park called The Function. Okay, Nudia.
Hello.
Welcome to The Rundown.
Hi, it's good to be here. Different studio, it's nice.
Yes. So I did a little bit of research on you, my coworker, Nudia, and I see that you are an R&B girly.
Mm-hmm.
What type of music did you grow up listening to?
Oh my gosh, it was so funny. Growing up, my family, we had Sundays. We had music video Sundays. I don't even know if other people do this, but we had like the DVD players. For the young kids, a DVD is, just kidding. we had DVDs of all of No Doubt's music videos, all of Janet Jackson's music video collection, which some of them, like, my parents would fast forward over, you know, because it was a little spicy.
A little risque.
But,
yes.
I mean, they let it go. They let a lot of things through. I still saw a lot of things, okay? I still, we had Madonna's music video collection and Mariah Carey's and J-Lo.
Yes.
So we'd sit there and we would just watch music videos on Sundays.
Wow.
As a family. And that was really, like, something that was kind of like the cornerstone, I think, of, like, my musical journey. Like, I always grew up, like, thinking I was it was a very, very pop environment. Very,
yes.
Like, pop princess environment.
Yeah, you named all the pop princesses for sure.
Yeah.
So was there, like, a dancing element? Like, what were we doing watching these videos?
I mean, for the most part, we were sitting watching, but everyone in my family dances. I think it's a prerequisite at this point. Like, you have to have a couple of 8 counts ready if
okay.
You're in my family. Like, it just is what it is. You have to have 3 to 4 8 counts ready to go at all times.
I love it.
We would try to memorize the choreography. That kind of led to, like, I remember my first concert experience. My mom took me to see Christina Aguilera.
Ooh.
And it's so funny because you're young. So I think I was like 11 or 12. So I'm like, who are these openers? I don't even care. Where's Christina, right? The opener. Are you ready? Are you ready who the openers were?
Oh, uh-oh. Who are they?
Destiny's Child.
Uh-huh.
I did not even care.
Uh-huh.
I did not appreciate what was in front of me,
yes.
You know?
You're like, I'm going to need Christina to hurry up.
I'm going to need her on stage right now.
Yeah.
So music was like a huge part, I think, of my life growing up,
yeah.
You know?
Destiny's Child also opened for my first concert,
really?
Which was TLC.
Oh, that's
the
awesome.
Whole TLC.
Yes, the whole T and the L and the C.
And the C,
mm.
Yeah. And I was excited to see Destiny's Child too, but of course we were there for TLC. Do you feel like your music taste has evolved in these last 2 years since you've been in Chicago?
Oh my gosh, yes.
Okay.
I'm so much cooler now.
Ooh.
I feel like I'm so cool now. Like, all of my friends, like, I really put them on now. I mean, especially being in Chicago.
Yeah.
Like, learning Chicago music, especially moving here. I'm from the West Coast, so learning things and being from the place where, you know, Black, brown, and queer people started house music.
Mm.
It's just been, I feel, it feels like I'm going through, like, puberty again, you know? Like, it's just, I'm being, like, reborn,
yes.
You know?
Take me back to when you first started getting interested in, like, you know, I think I want to, like, actually be live on the radio.
I just told everyone in high school that was what I was going to do. And it's so funny that people will message me now and be like, oh my gosh, you actually did it, girl. You actually did it. And
oh
I'm like,
God.
Yeah, you can do it, you know. But it
was has to feel so good.
It was amazing. It's definitely been like a crazy road, but I mean, I wouldn't have it any other way. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. I think Manifest. It's just that young DeLulu, you know, yeah. Like when you're young, like you get to be like,
yeah, super... everything's possible. It's fine.
Yeah. It just wasn't even ever a question for me.
So in addition to hosting your show on Vocalo, you are also a DJ.
Yeah, something. Yeah.
What is your favorite thing about also being in that medium when it comes to music?
The beautiful thing is that DJing is actually in person, and you could actually enjoy other people's energy.
Yes.
When you're on air, it's very singular. You know, I'm kind of by myself for a long time.
Yeah.
I kind of forget there's other people that are actually, like, listening, you know? You actually get to vibe off people. You actually get to play music for people in mm-hmm. real time and see people's reaction mm-hmm. and, like, get them to move. So yeah. It's really cool to have those two, like, different things to be able to do them.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. And then, I mean, also going back to what you were saying about the difference with Vocalo as a host, you get to actually interview people as mm-hmm. well and do that. I mean, what has been the most exciting thing for you about being able to fill time with talking to actual people in studio?
I think the most exciting thing has been that I could actually air the whole interview. Yeah. You know, like, again, in commercial radio, it's just like you got to do, unless it's someone
Beyonce.
Big, yeah, you're not taking up that much airtime. So to be able, like, no matter who they are, whether they're like Pivot Gang or whether they're like a new artist that no one's heard of, we could really have a full conversation with them. And, like, I love interviewing. Like, it's just one of, like, my favorite things ever, you know?
Yeah.
Getting to connect with people, especially you become a fan of people's music. And so to get to, like, really ask them the questions you were wondering is really cool.
Yeah. So we're actually about to hear one of your interviews that you did last week. Tell me, who are we about to talk to? What's this conversation about?
So this is Erin Kilmary, and she is like one of the founders of the Fly Honeys.
Nice.
And she is just like this world-renowned, award-winning choreographer and dancer. And this is a new project she has. It's called The Function. I actually went to go see it last week, right after I interviewed her. So it was really cool to get to experience that. It's just a very different play on a dance show. It's a really immersive experience. And it's like one of those things you would only be able to find in Chicago.
Yeah.
Oh, and I'm gonna hit her up for the music playlist. The music in the show is wild. So good.
Yeah. All right, here is Nudia's interview with Erin Kilmary.
Vocalo Radio, Chicago's only urban alternative, 91.1 FM. Nudia in the afternoon. Here with you, special guests in the building. Please welcome back again, Erin Kilmary. Hello.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
This is the only thing on my list this weekend, okay? This is the one thing on my agenda, and I cannot wait to see it. It is your new piece, mm-hmm. The Function. And I guess, well, it's your new production.
Mm-hmm.
And so talking to you a little bit before this interview, you've kind of put a lot behind this. Like you were telling me, you know, the space and everything. And it runs pretty long. It's 4 weeks, right?
It is, yeah.
The opening was last Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me a little bit more about it.
Yeah. So The Function is a dance piece. And I actually started making it during the, you know, deep, deep pandemic. And I know, the darkest timeline. And over the course of 2020 and 2021, workshopping that with a group of dancers. And I actually premiered it for the first time at the Museum of Contemporary Art. And so this is an adaptation of it and a remounting. And what's really exciting about it is that we have, like you were saying, we've taken over this warehouse space in East Garfield Park and really built out sort of a dance floor and a whole like scenic universe with it, which is really, really exciting. And the first time we've ever done that for an extended run.
And I was going to say, because putting on a production, it's so easy to think of like, okay, like a stage and the audience.
Yeah.
What made you kind of want to switch up the format Was it the numbers themselves where you're like, I feel like people need to see it from every angle, more angles? Or what really inspired you to make that decision?
That's a great question. I feel like when I had first envisioned this piece, I'd always envisioned it to be really, really close up proximity. You know, my dance, my experience as a maker, I really learned how to make choreography out of sort of atypical dance environments. So not necessarily theaters, but bars and nightclubs and house parties and things like that. And so the function, it really is like of that world, you know, where we were in the pandemic and we were imagining, God, if we could be anywhere, where would we want to be? And we really missed like that proximity, and we really missed the like bass heavy energy and kind of like the wild messiness of that world. And so that ended up really being what the project really reflects that. And so putting it in this warehouse space feels like it's really like, you know, coming into its own, if that makes any sense.
I love that. And, you know, I love that you kind of are admitting that this kind of the seed started during the pandemic, because I feel like we're kind of seeing a lot of visions that did get to start when we had a little bit of time.
Yeah.
We may have been like a little bit too sad to really execute them or really put that much like time and effort. Like we were all going through it. But I love that you're like, you know, I had this little image, this little vision during the pandemic, and now I get to bring it back to life. Mm. I mean, I was watching Jersey Shore because that's like, that's what I wanted. I'm like, do you remember when you were in a hot, sweaty club and people were too close to you?
Listen,
you
know? We can only be ourselves, you know?
So, you know, what made you come up with the title for it?
That's a great question. I mean, you mentioned, you know, vision and visioning of that time, you know, imagining at that time. And that's actually really the one of the main driving curiosities for me. So the function is this big, there's four dancers. It's this femme powered piece. The performers themselves, they aren't just creating the performance. They're also operating their own sort of, you know, what we've been calling DIY stagecraft or tech. So they're doing their own lights and they're doing cueing their own sound. They've created and built up their vision of the world, or what they hope of it. And they're also destroying it, and they're also rebuilding it and reimagining it. And so the title, The Function, is in part nodding to, of course, the sort of house party energy of the work, but it's also a nod to recognizing how we build, not just how we build something, but how we create it, and kind of like the labor of that, and how something, really interrogating how something functions, and then how can we push past those limitations and dream something bigger.
I love that. And I was reading, the piece is, the production, 70 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you said there's only four dancers.
Mm-hmm.
In my head, the math is just trying to math right now. And I was just wondering how that's, you know, you can't tell us everything, but it works.
Oh, yeah.
It works?
Oh, yeah. I mean, these dancers are so incredible. They are phenomenal athletes. They are phenomenal artists. You know, and they really carry the range of messiness and beauty and wild vulnerability and quiet and tenderness. You know, it's really all them. And one of my primary collaborators for this project is VD Girl, who is a, you know, legendary
DJ.
We love her, yeah. Who's a part of Slow Mo and is a part of Good Girls Collective. And VD also, you know, helped craft that 70 minutes, if you will, with us to sort of really hold that space and take that journey.
And the great thing is that I think, you know, when people purchase tickets, do they get this? Because I got like a little breakdown of like the rules.
And
You guys, it was like a whole interview in there.
You guys
broke down all the details. And so another detail in this is that you are going to have the four dancers. Now, my big question was, did you choreograph this whole thing, or did the dancers serve as choreographers as well? Like,
that's
how
a great
did it work?
Question. I think that we all really kind of co-authored it. So to me, I love to collaborate. So there's movement from the dancers' experiences, their stories, their bodies. There's movement from mine. And we really kind of put this big pile of material together. And then I, as a director, really kind of craft and edit it from the outside and help steer the bigger vision. And then they get to really embody it. And we kind of have it's very conversational.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love that. And so, because I feel like, especially prestigious choreographers, mm-hmm. it's like, here's your counts, here's your steps, and then that's kind of it. And a good dancer executes them. But this really sounds like kind of more of a labor of love.
Oh, yeah.
For this. And so what could people expect? I mean, they're going to show up. You repurpose the stage, right? Everyone's going to be around the stage. It's not the typical, like, performance setup.
Mm-hmm.
You got the four dancers, 70 minutes. You got VD Girl mm-hmm. on the sounds, mm-hmm. which can be dangerous, I know, because her music is so good sometimes. What else could people kind of be in for?
Yeah, that's great. You know, there's a little pre-show moment, so there's a lot to see in the space once you enter. We've got you can grab a drink, just kind of walk around. Once the show starts, it's very what I like to call low key interactive, which is that just, you know, do what you want to do, don't do what you want to do. But like I said, I keep coming back to this house party motif, if you will. So you might need to lend a hand and help someone out and move a thing. And you know, the performance itself will be 70 minutes. Folks are going to hand you a thing, a prop or something to interact with if you'd like to. But other than that, you're just vibing and watching and supporting the performers.
I love that. And where could people get tickets if they want to put this on their calendar?
You can go to my website, which is just erinkilmurray.com, or you can follow me on Instagram, which is E_Kilmurray. And all that information is out there for you. And tickets are kind of flying, I got to say. So
yeah, we'd love to
get
see
on
it.
You
know, I'll put a little applause in the background. We love when tickets fly. looking forward, are you teaching? What other projects do you have coming up? I mean, as a dancer, a choreographer, I'm sure there's always something in the books for you.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be teaching some drop-in classes for those folks out there who like contemporary dance. And then also I run a project called the Fly Honey Show, and we are going to have some workshops at the end of the summer. So
I love that.
Out.
I told you. Okay. I follow because I'm trying to go to a workshop. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm trying to lose some calories.
Listen,
I'm trying to look cute. You
we're
know,
body loving.
I'm trying to hair flip, right? You know, all those things. And so, the last Fly Honeys show I went to, by the way, last time we had you on was for the Fly Honeys. Oh my gosh. I had the time of my life. That was such an amazing production over at Talia Hall. That's when I heard VD Girl for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not only opened but closed after the show. And I think me and my friend Josh burned about 10,000 calories on the dance floor. That was super fun.
Favorite way to do it.
Well, thank you so much, Erin, for stopping by.
Thank you.
And coming by Vocalo, seeing the new studio. We love having you.
Thank you so much.
The Function has been selling out. There's a performance tonight in Garfield Park. You can find more information, including the wait list for performances, in the show notes of this episode. Nudia, we're going to be hearing from you every Friday from here on out. Hey. Nudia Hernandez is the host of Nudia in the Afternoon on WBEZ's sister station, Vocalo. Nudia, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And that's it for today. Justin Bull, Sarah Stark, and I produce The Rundown. Ariel Van Cleve is our editor and executive producer. Our theme music is by Louis Weeks. The Rundown is produced by WBEZ Chicago and is a part of the NPR network. And a big shout out to Adora Namigade, Lisa Labis, Lauren Frost, Emily Seiberg, and Katie O'Connell for their work on our morning and afternoon episodes. We also get help from Cassie Walker-Burke and Sophie Hernandez-Simeonidis and Dave Miska. I'm Erin Allen. Thank you for listening. Have a lovely weekend. I'll talk to you on Monday.